Дорогі українці, можливо...
Fellow Ukrainians, maybe I will upset someone now, but betrayal is canceled. I will explain why and I urge you to hear me. Let's start with the most important thing. Do we want the end of the war and the return of all Ukrainian territories? Yes. The Steinmeier formula. Let's see what the formula is.
Що це за формула?
That was Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's October 4th address to Ukrainians, explaining the Steinmeier Formula agreement that was signed 3 days in Minsk by Ukrainian and Russian negotiators prior. The formula is meant to restart the process of achieving peace in eastern Ukraine, where there has been a grinding 5-year war killing over 13,000 people since 2014. The response to this announcement and plan was this. As many as 10,000 people gathered in Maidan Independence Square Sunday, October 6th, to protest Zelensky's plan capitulating to Russians. All eyes in the world were on Ukraine last week since US President Trump's controversial July 25th phone call with Zelensky was released. But Ukrainians are not focused on the call or the Ukrainian-US dynamic. They are focusing on what they see as the bigger outrage, the Steinmeier formula. So what exactly is the Steinmeier formula? What do the people of Ukraine think? What does it mean for the future of Ukraine and this new administration? Welcome to Free Ukraine. I'm your host, Elina Alem, where we cover the current news and events of Ukraine. Russia's 2014 invasion of Crimea and the Donbas in eastern Ukraine, the death toll has risen to 13,000. International sanctions were imposed against Russia by Western powers such as the United States, the European Union, Norway, Canada, and Australia. Despite these sanctions contributing to the collapse of the Russian ruble and a mild recession, a loss worth of $170 billion, Russian-led forces continue to violate the agreed-upon ceasefire every day, killing Ukrainians nearly daily. In February of 2015, the Normandy Four, Ukraine, Germany, Russia, and France, met and expanded the Minsk Agreement first reached in September 2014. It called for a ceasefire within 72 hours, withdrawal of heavy weapons, the release of hostages, delivery of humanitarian aid to those who need, full Ukrainian government control restoration over the state border, and constitutional reform in Ukraine to provide for special status for certain districts in Donetsk and Luhansk oblasts, all by the end of 2015. Since then, an additional 2,000 Ukrainian soldiers have died in battle on Ukrainian territory. Russia occupies 7% of Ukrainian territory, containing 20% of pre-war industrial base. 2 million IDPs and refugees need assistance and the chance to resume their lives as Russia-led forces continue to shell the front lines and destroy the homes of Ukrainians.
Давайте розберемось, що це за формула.
Let's see what the formula is. Does it imply that Ukraine recognizes the annexation of Crimea and renounces Donbas? No. Does it imply that elections in Donbas will be held tomorrow at the barrel of machine guns? No. The formula means only one thing. When the so-called law on the special status of Donbas should start working.
Коли має запрацювати так званий закон про особливий статус Донбасу.
According to Zelensky, greenlighting the Steinmeier formula paves way for an upcoming meeting of the so-called Normandy Four. Although no date has been set, Moscow had demanded that Kyiv agree to the Steinmeier formula before it would consent to four-way peace talks with Ukraine. The Kremlin has said that it approves of the deal. So what does the formula actually entail? Could it lead to peace in Donbas? The Steinmeier formula, named after the then German Foreign Minister Walter Steinmeier, who proposed his idea in 2016, proposed to hold elections in the occupied territories under Ukrainian legislation and supervision of OSCE, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, the world's largest security-oriented intergovernmental organization. And if the organizations deemed these elections free and fair, then the special status of these regions would kick in. But that's just what would happen at the end of the process. Not day one, but day X. As Zelensky's comments made clear, there are important preconditions, conditions that were in the Minsk agreement back in February 2015, and which Russia has refused to implement. In order for elections meeting international standards to take place, Russian forces and Russian-backed militants would have to leave the territory and Ukraine regain control over the eastern border with Russia. In other words, no elections under the barrel of the guns of occupiers. In an interview with Hromadsky News, Foreign Minister Vadim Pristaiko stated that the negotiation groups are still working on it. The most real date for the signing could be mid-October, and that the election could happen even by spring 2020, as that was the date set by the Central Election Commission, although it keeps being delayed. But after a six-year war, many Ukrainians are not happy with this idea at all. Thousands of people gathered on Maidan Independence Square on Sunday, October 6th, to protest the Steinmeier formula. They brought Ukrainian and Crimean Tatar flags, banners, and signs to show that they do not want to give any part of Ukraine up. They stood listening intently in 5 degrees Celsius weather to soldiers, war veterans who had fought in Donbass since 2014, activists, and hardcore rock bands protesting President Zelensky and the Steinmeier formula. For hours, the Ukrainian people stood and protested. Despite the freezing rain, their anger burned bright, focused, and loud. The event transformed into a march, starting by heading up Heroyev Nebesnye Sotny Ali, which was named in honor of the Heavenly Hundred, the 100 protesters that were murdered by snipers during the 2014 Revolution of Dignity. Their portraits placed alongside the street so no one forgets the lives lost fighting for the freedom of Ukraine. This is what you see when heading towards the presidential administration building from Independence Square. As the march continued, the people started to chant thank you over and over again. I looked to my left to see what the commotion was about and saw previous President Petro Poroshenko making his way through the crowd. He lost to Zelensky's sweeping 73% of the vote during the April presidential election. But Zelensky has not been having a good week when it comes to his people's opinions.
I continue this fight for the president of our country doesn't give up our country's interests. So that there wouldn't be any kind of capitulation at all, not spoken, not even a word of it, to have it weaken our position in any way. We don't need to come up with anything. We've been holding out for almost 6 years. We will sweep the Russian aggression. Yes, the freedom that we have now is very dear to us. No one came out to say that freedom comes at a low price.
That was Ismail Ramazanov, a Crimean Tatar who served 6 months in a Russian prison for supporting Ukraine in Crimea. Crimean Tatars and anyone in Crimea who support Ukraine against Russia is at risk of prison or getting killed. Ismail Ramazanov moved to Kiev half a year ago and wants to continue his fight against Russian aggression in support of Ukraine.
In 2013, I supported Maidan, supported our students, and now, of course, I can't stand by. People got this freedom at a great price at the cost of the blood of our best sons of our country. And so, to tell all the people that today they say that they are tired of the war, I want to say that, for almost 6 years, the Crimean Tatar people have now tired of their struggle in the Crimea. And these are peaceful struggles, they are still going on under conditions of occupation by my people. And therefore I am here, and therefore I am speaking on my behalf of my people, here, and everyone supports at least the Crimea, my people, my position.
Ramazanov, alongside many, came out on October 6th. President Zelensky made another attempt to explain the purpose of his policies on October 10th, during a 10-hour press marathon held in a food court alongside 300 journalists, something never done by a president in history. 4 days later, Ukrainians marched again on Ukrainian Defenders Day. These particular Ukrainians have not tired and are going to continue to speak out for what they believe in. In 2014, President Poroshenko came into office promising to end the war in weeks, promising peace. Instead, he and Ukraine endured 5 years of war. In 2019, President Zelensky entered office with the same intent, to pursue the path of peace. But it is Russian President Putin who started this war, and only Putin can end it. As negotiators talk about the Steinmeier formula in Minsk, Berlin, and Paris, Russian guns continue to kill Ukrainians on Ukrainian soil. The war grinds on. That's it for this week's episode of Free Ukraine, our first episode. Tune in Thursday, October 24th, for more current events of Ukraine with guests, interviews, and more. Thank you to our podcasting director, Fyodor Papaduk, and editor-in-chief of Ukrainska Pravda, Sevgil Museeva, for making this all come together. Feel free to share our podcast. We're on Anchor, Apple Music, Spotify, you name it. I'm your host, Elena Lem. Thanks for listening.